All right. I am back. The Memory Arcade Late Night Stories. I'm about to fire up another episode right now. I got a crazy story on the way. This, I don't know what it's called. I haven't given it a title yet. I gave it a working title. The working title is actually The Bad Wheel, but there's absolutely no, there absolutely has nothing to do with driving. Nothing to do with a car. Nothing to do with tires. Yeah, but it's about a double date kind of gone wrong, but gets better. It's a really good story. It's been a couple weeks since I, you know, released an episode. You're probably wondering what happened. And to be honest with you, I don't even fucking know. I mean, these last few weeks just kind of flew by. I was like, holy shit, what is the date? And I looked down and I was like, yes, it was April. And I was like, holy shit, it's April. And I was like, what was my last episode? March 21st. I was like, oh, damn, dude, that's like more than 2 weeks ago. So I've been really slacking. I don't know what's been going on. It's kind of let the time kind of get away from me a little bit. You know, I've been okay. I've been good. You know, baseball started back up. You know, I'm really big into baseball. I'm a big Chicago Cubs fan. And, you know, just, I guess I'll blame it on that. I don't really got anything. I don't know. I don't really got any excuses. I just kind of fucked off a little bit, to be honest with you. But I'm back, better than ever, stronger than before. I'm way more powerful now. My riding abilities have just increased. I'm just like, I'm taking over the story podcast world. And I can already feel the other storytelling podcasts, you know, they're starting to get nervous. They're out there shaking. They're like, oh, crap, man. Any time now, that Memory Arcade guy, he could drop a new episode and we're fucked. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You are fucked. Because I'm getting ready to drop another great story of this on this podcast. Like I said, I don't have a title for it yet. The working title is called The Bad Wheel. If I don't have any other ideas, I might just keep it with that. I don't know, but I hope everybody enjoys the story. The story is about a double date, and one of the dates is really annoying, and then the other three are trying to get rid of her. So whatever it is you're doing, I hope you're enjoying yourself. Relax, get back, drink some water, throw away the bourbon. That's what I did. I'm throwing away the bourbon. No more alcohol. Sticking to straight water now. And also, I've been hitting the gym. I'm going to start hitting the gym a little bit more. So, anyways, off topic. I'm getting ready to start a story now. So, please, relax, get back, and enjoy the story. Let's go. Summer of 2006 in Chicago. Kate had been surprised when Jim, a guy she knew from college, asked her out on a dinner date. She hadn't spoken to him in years, but she figured catching up with an old acquaintance couldn't hurt. So she agreed, not expecting much beyond a casual evening. However, when she arrived at the restaurant, she found herself in for an unexpected twist. Jim wasn't alone. He was accompanied by his friend Brian. Kate couldn't deny she was taken aback, but she kept her composure as they exchanged greetings as they waited for a table. I know I probably have a reputation for my college days, but I wasn't prepared for the two of you, she jokingly said, making them laugh. And just like that, the three instantly hit it off well. They were able to make each other laugh, telling jokes, sharing stories from their college days, and they were genuinely enjoying each other's company. It almost seemed like they were lifelong best friends. As they settled into their table at the restaurant, Kate couldn't help but notice Brian's charming smile and easygoing demeanor. She found herself drawn to him, which only added to her discomfort when she realized they were on a double date, and Brian was waiting for his date, Nikki. "What's taking your date so long?" Jim asked Brian. Brian answered, "Oh, she almost wasn't going to come tonight because she was annoyed by how fast I answered her texts. She says that means that I must be desperate. But she said she'd forgive me because she's hungry and hasn't eaten all day." Later, The evening took a sour turn when Nikki arrived nearly an hour late, failing to introduce herself and offering only a flippant apology that did little to assuage the tension at the table. "Sorry I'm late, but I don't really want to be here," Nikki stated. Kate frowned at the lack of consideration. It was rude and disrespectful to both Brian and everyone else. "I struggled too hard figuring out something nice to wear, and I'm not bringing out my sexy outfit to eat at a place like this. No offense," Nikki added. Throughout dinner, Nikki monopolized the conversation, regaling them with tales of her ex-husbands and her disdain for commitment. Tension filled the air when Nikki shockingly and inappropriately asked all of them, "So, just being curious, what is everybody's body count?" Kate's eyes grew big, and she couldn't believe that Nikki had asked that. "I'm not going to answer that. Sorry," she replied. Nikki then said, "Why not? Let me guess. You're one of those girls who married out of high school, but is now divorced. So what you're trying to do in your late 30s is what you should have done in your early 20s. Kate was so stunned by Nikki's blatant rudeness that she froze and didn't know what to say. Nikki then asked Jim what his body count was. 13, he said, kind of quietly. "That's it? You're a grown man in your 30s and single," Nikki responded while laughing at Jim. "Well, going to school to be a lawyer and then becoming one, you don't have much time for your personal life," Jim replied. "Oh, so that's what you do. Where do you work, Kate?" Nikki asked. "I work from home for a company that buys and sells real estate," Kate answered. "Oh, so you have no life. That explains not wanting to share your body count. Got it," Nikki said, laughing again. Nikki then focused her attention on her date, Brian. "So, dumbass, let me know when you want to join in. I'm tired of having to carry this conversation. I don't even know these people. Can you help? Fuck." Brian replied, "Well, to answer your questions, I'm embarrassed about it, but I want to be honest. I've only slept with 4 people because I've been busy with my..." And then before Brian could even finish his sentence, Nikki, interrupting, exploded into laughter as she cut off Brian from saying the rest of what he had to say. "Yours is only 4? I knew you were desperate. Guys who get laid aren't as available as much as you are." Nikki continued to laugh and humiliate Brian and talking down to him like he was a pathetic loser. Kate's irritation simmered beneath the surface as she silently seethed at Nikki's arrogance and self-absorption. After dinner, they decided to head to a nearby club, hoping for a change of atmosphere. However, Nikki's behavior only worsened as the night progressed. She complained incessantly, treating Brian like an afterthought while demanding attention from everyone else. "You know, you should feel lucky to have a date like me. I got plenty of guys on my roster who would love to have me, so you better treat me right and give me my drinks," Nikki said to Brian. "Oh, of course. I'll go get those for you," Brian replied. Kate exchanged a glance with Jim, silently communicating her frustration. It was clear that Nikki's presence was ruining what could have been an enjoyable evening. Something needed to be done. "I can't stand this anymore," Kate whispered to Jim. We need to find a way to get rid of Nikki and salvage the night for Brian's sake." Jim nodded in agreement, and together they brainstormed ideas to subtly persuade Brian to see Nikki's true colors. Kate was determined to help Brian realize he deserved better than someone who treated him so poorly. "We'll be his dates tonight," Kate declared, a mischievous glint in her eye. "And we'll do whatever it takes to make sure he sees how much better off he'd be without her." With renewed determination, Kate and Jim set their plan in motion. They orchestrated scenarios to highlight Nikki's rudeness and insensitivity, hoping to open Brian's eyes to her true nature. Jim walked up to Brian, who was standing at the bar. "Bro, your date is ruining the night. You have to tell her off." And then Brian replied, "And you expect me to third wheel it while you're still with Kate, who was gorgeous? I'm good on that. I'm tired of being alone, and maybe things will get better with Nikki." Brian didn't have anything else to say, so he just nodded and said, "Okay." Jim reported back to Kate to let her know that Brian has no plans to ditch Nikki. Kate thought for a second and then said, "Let's go dance." So her and Brian began dancing among the sea of people in the club. Kate noticed that Nikki wasn't dancing and looked bored and angry without a drink in her hand. So she looks over at another guy dancer who was nearby and says to him, "Hey, you see that woman standing alone over there? I think she's waiting for someone to ask her to dance with them." And without hesitation, that guy walked over and asked her to dance with him. But to everyone's surprise, Nikki rejected him by punching him in the face and hitting him over the head with a bar stool. "Fuck off, you creep," Nikki yelled. "Well, that didn't work," Jim said. Suddenly, the DJ changed the song to something upbeat that was pretty much fighting music. And then another guy walked over to Jim and Kate and said, "Hey, you set my friend up for that. What the fuck?" Jim, who was trying to de-escalate the situation, responded, "Now settle down. That wasn't our intention." But the angry man didn't care and took a swing at Jim. But Kate threw her drink in the guy's face and pushed him into another crowd of people who started beating his ass because he accidentally stepped on their shoes. "Wow, thanks for the save," Jim said to Kate. "You're welcome, but I didn't mean to get two innocent guys beat up." Then Nikki walks up, interrupting. "Did you two notice that guy coming on too strong without offering me a drink first? I'm way too pretty for that," she said. "You could have just kindly told him no. You didn't have to hurt him," Kate replied. Then Nikki said, "Look, guys like that are pigs and aren't owed anything. Hopefully I taught him a lesson." Then, suddenly, the club DJ started playing a slow dance song and told everyone to stop fighting and to grab a person and head to the dance floor. Kate then suddenly had another idea. She looks at Jim and says, "Please don't be mad or jealous, but I have another idea." She then walks away from Jim and grabs a drink out of Brian's hand, which was meant for Nikki, and chugs it. "Listen, your date sucks. Come dance with me instead." Brian was confused at first, but he accepted. Brian was confused at first, but he accepted the dance with Kate. "If Jim is cool with it, okay," he said. Kate then started slow dancing with Brian, hoping that Nikki would see it, get upset, and just leave on her own. But the plan backfired because once Nikki saw Brian dancing with Kate, She didn't hesitate to ask for a dance with Jim. "Hey, idiot, are you going to just stand there and watch your friend steal your date, or are you going to dance with me instead?" Nikki said to Jim. Jim, not wanting to hurt Nikki's feelings, agreed to the dance, even though he didn't really want to. Nikki then said to Jim, as she started feeling him below the belt on the dance floor, "You know there's a place in this nightclub. I know where we can go to be alone, if you're trying to get to number 14 tonight." Jim then replied to Nikki, "Sorry, but even if you weren't my friend's date tonight, I still wouldn't be interested. You're just not my type." As the night wore on, Kate found herself growing closer to Brian, enjoying his company more than she had anticipated. Meanwhile, Nikki's behavior only worsened, confirming Kate's disdain for the woman. Kate, while dancing with Brian, noticed Nikki was being really touchy with Jim, which prompted Kate to then pour her drink onto the floor right behind Nikki's feet, which caused her to slip when she took a step back, and it sent her crashing to the floor. She was soaked and embarrassed for slipping and falling in front of everyone at the nightclub, on top of Kate's spilt drink. "What the fuck?" Nikki yelled. "Why didn't anyone catch me? You know what? All of you suck, and I don't know why I agreed to go on a double date with such losers. I'm out of here." And Nikki stormed off. Brian was in disbelief about what just took place and said to Jim and Kate, "Why did you two have to ruin this for me? I finally get a date with her, and you two push her away." Kate then replied, "You could do way better. You don't need her. Let's just have a fun night without her." And Jim added, "Look, man, she's awful. You're not going to believe this, but she was just trying to get me to sneak off and have sex with her. She doesn't care about you." Standing with a blank stare in his face, Brian said, "No, I'm not going to believe that. You two haven't liked Nikki from the start, so now you're just making stuff up. I'm going to go get her and leave." He then walked off. "This night was not what I had in mind. Sorry, Kate," Jim said. "It's okay. I probably should have just bit my tongue, but I couldn't. She was too insufferable," Kate said. Meanwhile, Brian is looking for Nikki in the nightclub, but can't find her anywhere. So he stops and asks the DJ named Liv, "Hey, have you seen my date? She's wearing bright red high heels." The DJ then says, "Yes, she went into the members only section with that guy she beat up. But to be honest, I don't think you should be looking for her. I've been watching you guys all night, and I have to say that your date is a total bitch. You definitely could do better." "Oh, thanks for the suggestion. I'll keep that in mind. What's your name?" And the DJ responded, "My name's Liv." Brian said, "Oh, all right, well, nice to meet you, Liv." Despite what the DJ told him, he still decided to look in the VIP area. He walked into the dark room. And of the VIP section. And there he saw Nikki sitting on top of the guy she beat up earlier and kissing him all over. Brian was in shock. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. And then he realized that what Kate and Jim were saying was true. "I need to go back to them and apologize." And that's exactly what he did. Later on, once reunited with Jim and Kate, he told them that he should have listened to them both, and that he was sorry for ruining the night by inviting a bad date. "I don't know what I was thinking with Nikki. You guys helped me see that I deserve better." With Nikki out of the picture, the three of them started having fun together, laughing and dancing until the early hours of the morning. Kate then asked if they could go anywhere to chill. Brian then said, "Well, do you two want to go up to the rooftop and look over the city?" Kate then said, "How are we going to do that? I don't think that's allowed." Brian then responded, "Of course we can. This is my building. I own this place." Kate's eyes grew big again. "Wait, what? You're the owner of this nightclub?" "Yes," he simply stated. "Brian owns several successful tech companies and is the owner of many things like hotels, restaurants, and this nightclub," Jim said. "Yeah, I was trying to say that earlier, but Nikki interrupted me and started talking over me. I didn't get a chance to say it." Then all three of them had a big laugh together. Kate was still in total shock, and she couldn't believe what she had just found out. Brian then said, "Come on, follow me. Let's go up to the roof." As they were sitting on the rooftop, looking over the Chicago skyline, talking and sharing stories with each other, Jim put his arm around Kate. Brian noticed and felt that he was becoming a third wheel and might be ruining a good moment for Jim and Kate. "Hey, you two look like you could use some alone time. I'm going to head home." Kate then turned her attention to Brian and gave him a kiss on the lips and said, "Nope, you're staying right here. There's enough of me for the both of you." Brian then looked at Jim and said, "Are you cool with this?" Jim then said, "Sure, why not? It's your rooftop." Guys then focused their attention on Kate. But right before anything happened, another woman walked up behind them and said, "Hey, sorry. I didn't know anyone else would be up here." Brian then recognized that the woman was the club DJ named Liv, who he was talking to earlier when he was trying to find Nikki. "Sure, come sit next to us," Brian said. Liv was able to fit right in immediately and got along with all three of them. As Brian and Liv were talking, Kate and Jim started going at it as they couldn't keep their bodies off of each other. And before long, Brian and Liv joined in as they too started getting physical. All four of them were having the best night of their lives right next to each other. Clothes were coming off and they were couple swapping back and forth. This was truly a night that none of them will forget. The end. Okay, all right. So here we have an interesting story. So this story was about a double date that started off good, then got bad, and then got really good again. So this was about a double date. So we have our characters, Kate, who knows a guy named Jim from her college days and that she agreed to go on a date with. But little did she know that when she showed up to the date at the restaurant, that it was actually a double date. And Jim was there with his friend, Brian, who was waiting for his date. Now, things started off really good. There was instantly just really good chemistry. They were getting along with each other, laughing, telling stories. They got along great, you know. And, you know, it was kind of interesting, though, because Kate, you know, was not really in a relationship with Jim. She was just there on a date with him that night. And she ended up liking Brian. Either just as much or a little bit more than she liked Jim. And, you know, so she was not ready for that. She was not anticipating that happening, you know, and she was really starting to like Brian a lot and she was getting along with him and she was just having a really cool, chill night hanging out with a couple dudes. And then, but, you know, of course, you know, she, you know, when she found out that it was a double date, she heard that, you know, that Brian's date was on the way, and that's when shit just fucking went downhill. Turns out that, you know, Nikki was not a very nice woman. Turns out she was just very kind of self-absorbed. She was very snotty, and she was just very invasive with her questions, you know, was asking personal questions. I mean, as soon as she sat down, she asked everybody what their body count was and then judging them for the answers that they gave and then judging them for where they work. And it was just constant. Like, it was just rude. It was just blatant rudeness and immediately sucked the joy out of the air the moment she arrived at the date, you know. So, you know, and then that's, you know, so Kate, being more and more annoyed by Nikki, you know, she's like, "Man, I was having a good time until she showed up." And then, and Nikki was just so insufferable that Kate was just like, "We got to get rid of her. We got to get rid of her." And then luckily her date, Jim, agreed. And they kind of like worked as a team to come up with ways to get rid of her, to get Brian to ditch her, or just to, you know, just get Brian to see that he deserves better. And, you know, they're trying to like save the night, you know, because they don't need her. Like, they don't need her. And even though, you know, it's the whole situation where, you know, Brian doesn't want to be the third wheel He doesn't want to, you know, and he's also tired of being alone. It also sounds like he's liked Nikki for a while, and he's been trying to get her to go on a date for a long time, and it just never happened until this night. So he was really clinging on. He was really, really hoping that Nikki was going to get better and the night was just going to get better, but it just never happened. And Kate was, she was not having it. She was not having it. She came up with all kinds of ways to get, you know, to get, you know, Nikki away. So that's what this story was about. You know, it was just a really wild night, a really crazy double date story. And, you know, when I wrote the story, I wanted to do a story that was about a double date, because I think, that's something that I want to talk about. You know, when I was young, when I was in high school, or maybe even right out of high school, you know, double dates in my life were normal. You know, they were normal. You know, I'm saying we always went out with friends, and it was like her friends, my friends, or, you know, this be like the four of us, and we'll just, you know, we would just go kick it. We'd just have a good night. And I just feel like people, you know, you know, my age in their late 30s or early, you know, or older, they don't really go on double dates anymore. Now, I may be wrong. If I'm wrong, please let me know. You know, and I'm not speaking, I'm just speaking from my perspective, from what I see. And I was just thinking, like, well, you know, because, you know, I listen to my friends, my single friends, they're always in the chats, they're always talking about their lives and stuff. And I read things that go on, like, in the media and thing, you know, there's a lot of people that just talk really bad about today's, you know, dating culture. And they're talking about how toxic it is, and then everything from, like, how to text people. You know, if you text people too fast, you come across as too clingy or desperate. Or if you double text, you really seem like you're clingy and desperate. And it's just, or if you don't text back fast enough, then it seems like you're not interested in that person. It's just a wild back and forth, constant mind game, reading people, you know, reading people's minds and trying to get people to like you and trying to seem more desirable. And then I feel like, and from my opinion, that's just all it is. All from what I gather is today's dating world is everyone's trying to make themselves look desirable, but they're not stopping and recognizing other people and appreciating them for who they are. You know what I'm saying? They're more focused on themselves, making themselves look great, but they're not stopping and acknowledging, like, the person that's committing the time. You know, I don't know. I have a lot of opinions about that kind of stuff, and I'm not going to be able to get to all of them in this episode, but, you know, I just kind of want to go back to, like, double date. I feel like double dating is a good icebreaker. It's a good way to, you know, spend time with friends. And honestly, some of the best dates I ever went on were double dates, because not everybody is very talkative. Not everybody knows what to say. Some people are quiet. They don't really have, you know, let's just face it, most of us live mundane lives. We're not doing anything interesting, really. Like, not to us, like, what is it? We're waking up, we're going to work, we work all day, what we eat, and we go home. It's just a very constant, like, routine. People live routine lives. And sometimes they're just like, I don't do it. People are like, I didn't do anything interesting. And when people feel like they're not doing anything interesting, they also feel like they don't have much to say or much to offer in a social setting or something like on a date. So when they're out on the date and they're talking to somebody, they don't really know what to say because they just don't feel like their life is very interesting, you know? And so they're just kind of, so there's like a barrier there. There's kind of like a, you know, but on a double date though, when you have two other people, you have variety, you have topics switching up, you learn different things, you talk about different things, everybody, you know, and you have more people adding to the conversation. And it's just a really good way to ease the tension. And it, It eases the pressure on everybody. It just reduces the pressure. And, you know, double dates also, you know, people tend to do more activities. They go to different events, or they go to, you know, and they go to new places, or they try something new, or they do something that they haven't normally done before, whether it's like, it's axe throwing or rock climbing or, you know, hiking or doing something that you wouldn't normally do if it was just you and your partner. You know, it really, in its own way, double dates spice things up, you know? So, and I get, you know, a lot of people, they just want to be alone with their partner. They just want to go on a date. They just want to go do, you know, they want to go to dinner and a movie and then go home afterwards. But don't you want to have fun also? Don't you want to enjoy your life? Don't you want to live a little bit? And I just think a lot of people would benefit, a lot of couples would benefit from something like a double date more often. You know, it doesn't always have to be just you and your partner. You can, hey, if you have a friend, a married couple, or they're in a relationship with somebody, invite them along. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, just invite two friends. I don't even have, you know what I'm saying? Just invite anybody, you know, just have a, you know, have some company and try it. And I bet you're going to have a fun night. And then all that romantic stuff, all that one-on-one, all the sex, that can wait. That can happen at the end of the night. Don't worry about that. Don't even worry about that. That's going to come. And I promise you, you're going to appreciate the buildup. You're going to appreciate the all night, you and your partner, you're going to be flirting with each other, talking to each other, and there's like touching and stuff. It all adds to the buildup, which makes the sex even better. So, you know, because, you know, when you go on a one-on-one date, everything happens, but much faster. So you get to the finish line much faster. Double dates, things are kind of delayed a little bit. That depends on you, and that depends on how much you want to, you know, some people are just like, nope, we got to be home by 8, or we got to be home by 9. Man, have some fun. I mean, do what you want to do. If you want to be home early because you're tired and stuff, that's completely different. But if you want to live a little bit, go out. Hang out with your friends and, you know, just have a good time, relax, go do some different things, try some new, different stuff out. And I promise you're going to like it, you know. And if you don't, you could always just say, okay, I'm going home. You know, you can always cut the night off whenever you want. But I really do think that double dates would benefit so many couples. And there's so many people that haven't even tried it, never even been on one. And they don't even know what they're missing out on. And even people that have been on them before, they probably don't even, they may not even remember what it was like. They can't remember the last time they were on one. And now you could be like, man, I go on double dates all the time. Like, it's not that special. You could be that person too. But I am more speaking to the people that are looking for different ways to make their lives exciting again, you know, just giving them ideas. And then, because sometimes you don't need to do all the crazy stuff. You don't always have to go on a fancy all-inclusive, you know, resort, going to like Cancun or going on a cruise ship or go on an Alaskan cruise. Just, you know, it doesn't have to be that. You can do something so much simpler than that. You can just say, hey, you go to your partner, be like, hey, you want to go out and invite so-and-so and see if they want to tag along and see what kind of trouble we get into. That's all you got to do. You know, because then, you know, it's a double win. You get to spend time with your partner and you get to spend time with your friends and you guys can go out and have fun. And, you know, now double dates only work if all four of you or whoever, you know, all four of you have good chemistry. If all four of you get along, you know, who you invite really does matter, you know, because, you know, you can invite the wrong person, you know, they suck the joy out of the room and suddenly everybody wants to go home early. Everybody wants to leave because they secretly don't like you or they secretly, you know, they don't like somebody. Yes, you know, because it doesn't matter where you go. it's all about who you're with. I don't care if you're vacationing at an all-inclusive resort on some beautiful island. If you're not, if you're with somebody that is just being negative, just complaining, just flat out, just absolutely just killing the vibe, you're not going to enjoy yourself as much. You know, especially if you're, you know, forced to be around that person. You know, who you keep as company is just very important. And, you know, and so not all of us are blessed to have cool friends that we want to do stuff like that with, or people in our lives that we want to do that stuff with. And I know, you know, the older you get, it just seemed like it, the older you get, the harder it is to make new friends. You know, I say all the time, instead of like dating apps for like dates and stuff, we need to have apps for like making friends. You know, I'm not talking like Facebook. I'm not talking about like Instagram and stuff like that. Those are not social. I mean, it's social media, but let's just be honest. Social media, there's really nothing social about it. There's nothing social about scrolling on your phone and liking posts and dropping comments on strangers' posts and that you'll never talk to again. Like, there's nothing social about that. No, I'm talking about like an app where you actually go, like, hey, I'm 35. I like to watch baseball. I need somebody that wants to go watch some baseball games with me. Like, not like in a weird romantic way or whatever, just somebody to kick it with. I need friends. Swear to God, friends are so important. We need people to match our vibe. I swear, meeting people that match your vibe is just so important, you know, and they're out there. You just got to find them. Or maybe you're lucky and you already have them in your life. You know, that's good. You know, so I definitely think double dating is a really good, healthy way to, you know, make things interesting again, to make life more interesting, to have more fun. And, you know, so, you know, give that a try. You know, if you are, you know, listening to this and you're like, man, I need to do something more. I need to go out more. I need to have more fun. And me and my partner, we don't really do a whole lot anymore these days. I hope you give a double date a try. Just try it. Just talk about it with your partner. Talk about it with your friends and see what you all come up with. See what you guys plan. And as long as you just go into it with an open mind and kind of relax and don't restrict yourself. Don't be like, oh, I got to be home by 9 because I got to sleep. No, sleep later. Go have fun. Go enjoy your time with your friends and just see what happens in that night. See what kind of adventure you go on. You never know what might happen. Kind of like with this story. They had no idea what was going to happen. They just know Nikki was annoying. They had to get rid of her, but they did. They were able to get rid of her, and then they were able to spend time up on the roof. They were, you know, overlooking the Chicago skyline together, and they were just kind of hanging out and having a wonderful moment. And then things got really interesting. And then, you know, they almost had a three-way. But then the club DJ walked in on them and was just like, hey, I'm Liv. I didn't know you guys were going to be up here. And then Brian was like, hey, didn't I talk to you earlier? And, you know, he recognized her and he invited her to join them. And they kind of just all four of them just got along better. They got along with Liv better than they did with Nikki. And it was just a really good night. And then things kind of really picked up. All four of them just started doing it on the rooftop. And it was just a really cool shared experience. Now, so not every, you know, don't go into a double date with that happening in mind. Don't do that. Cause then that will probably, blow up in your face. But, you know, more and more couples are getting into the swinging lifestyle, or they're just being more experimentative. You know, there's a lot of couples out there that are trying, you know, different things, and they're just going out and, I mean, they're doing different things. You know, they're doing like they're swinging, couple swapping. They're, you know, there's a lot more open relationships out there. You know, people are having threesomes, partner sharing, you know, the list goes on. There's just so many different scenarios that people are, or that couples that are trying out. And it's not just, it's not because they're trying to like spice things up. It's because they want to, one, you know, they love each other. They love each other and they trust each other and they want to live. They want to enjoy things. They want to try different things. And they just know that as long as they love each other and they trust each other and then they have you know, rules and boundaries, and they discuss all these things thoroughly, that they want to try things together. They want to, you know, and they're not living in a closed-minded state where it's just kind of like, nope, it's just you and me, that's it, nobody else. You know, no, they're trying to, like, they understand that, like, they, this is their only life, and then they want to enjoy it as much as they can. And just because, you know, they vow their love for one another, it doesn't mean that they have to restrict each other of doing some things that they want to do, if it's something that they want to do. So if you are interested in this lifestyle and you want to talk about it with your partner, don't go at it in a way of, I think we need to spice things up. Don't do that. There's nothing wrong with your relationship. There is absolutely nothing to spice up. But you can say, I want to try this because I am curious and I want to experiment. And I think it would be really great if we could do this together, if we can kind of work out some sort of an agreement and we can just kind of go over everything and just have those really good, you know, safe talks. You know, there's nothing wrong with ethical, non-monogamous relationship. There's nothing wrong with anything that you want to do. You know, I'm not trying to imply that there's wrong things or right things or anything. It's just all about what you want to do. And hey, if that lifestyle is not for you, then great. You know, that's great. You know, you made a decision, you know what you want, and you're sticking with it, and nobody's going to talk you out of it. Just like you're not going to talk anybody out of swinging who wants to swing. You're not going to talk them out of that. They're going to do what they want to do. So, if you're one of those people that are just kind of thinking, you've always been kind of curious and stuff, and read about it. It's all over the internet. There's so many articles. I read an article right before I got on this episode. There's so many people. There's so much stuff out there about the different lifestyles that you could try with you and your partner that you never know what might lead to. It might lead to more joy. It might lead to more fun. You know, but it is important though that you just talk and you just go over everything and talk about each other and how much do you feel jealous, or, you know, how jealous do you get of each other, or, you know, just have those really good, good, strong talks that I feel like every couple should be having this conversation. I don't care if you're trying to get into swinging or not. You should always be having these conversations. Always talk about what's going on in your partner's mind. Because just because you've been with them for 10 years, it doesn't mean you know everything that they're thinking or everything. You know, people change. People get different ideas, or people have thoughts on different things change. People get mature. They have a whole different outlook on things. And you got to constantly be in communication with people to understand where they're at when in regards of and stuff like that. So always have these talks no matter what. That's just, you know, my opinion. But, but double dates though, like, just go have a good double date. Don't have any expectations involved and stuff. But, I just wanted to kind of throw in that stuff at the end, you know, to kind of like spice up the story and kind of make it more interesting and stuff like that. But that should never be an expectation, obviously. I just want to throw out there, you know, disclaimer, but, anyway, so that's why I wanted to do the story. You know, I really wanted to talk about double dates a lot, and just talk about, you know, the problem with, you know, today's dating culture in general and stuff. I have so much more that I can say about all that stuff, but, you know, I'll save all that for later episodes. Anyways, that's all I got for this episode. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I hope you really enjoyed that story. I hope you enjoy, you know, hearing me talk to you guys about going on double dates. Do it, you know. I'm just going to say, just do it. You know, you and your partner, talk it over. Be like, hey, let's invite some friends. Who do we want to invite? Let's see if they want to join us for dinner and whatever else afterwards. You know, give that a try. If you got that idea from here and from me, and you do it, please let me know. I want to hear how the night went, and let me know what you think of this podcast. Let me know what you thought of this episode. Like I said, I hope you enjoyed the story. I really enjoyed coming up with that story, and look out for more stories like that on the way. All right. So that's all I got. I hope everybody has a great weekend. I'm going to drop this on a Friday, I think. So anyways, hope everybody has a good weekend. Stay safe out there and hit up your friends. See what they're doing. Don't forget to check on your friends. Don't forget to check on them. Make sure you're checking on everybody. You know, just it never hurts to check it on a friend and to make sure that they're doing okay. Always be doing that. And so until next time, take it easy, enjoy your weekend, and stay safe. Later.